Rosh Nois Lamedes. That's Ois Lamedes. That's Lev. The last Ois we're going to look at before this next year, Elul, but this is Hashem in the Yerushalayim HaKadosh. So it's a thought, it's a sobering thought. Ois Lamedes was Avidoi, Sichin Yerushalayim. Sechor Yom HaMov is Tomid. Sechor Yom HaMov is Tomid. The person should constantly be aware of the fact that we're not here forever. V'tzeda l'derech hachin, and therefore prepare something to take along for the trip. And Morris says, Morin Ksubas, that one of the Meroyim was sick, and he took a large amount of money to stock up. So they asked him, what's the pshad? He said, Urcha Rechika Mizadoi Kalila. This is the trip is a long trip, and the suitcases are pretty empty. They're too light. The suitcases are not heavy enough. You know, over here, our goal is to make sure that we're not overweight on the suitcases when you get to the airport. And they shouldn't be too heavy. For this trip, you want the suitcases to be as heavy as possible. There should be enough, more packed into the suitcases. The more and more you can pack into the suitcases. So he says, the suitcases are too light, so he had to give more money to the stock. So more brings in the content, so you're allowed to give more than a chaimish. That's where the discussion is over there. The person has to prepare for the trip. These two points, should be constantly in front of your eyes. And the day when it comes time that you have to leave, you'll be ready for it. Your bed should melt away from the tears. And your thoughts should push it, be marvel you. When you think about the fear of Yechem and Zakai. Yechem and Zakai, the Gemara says in Brachos, the Gadol Ador, not just the Gadol Ador, the person who saved Klal Yisrael in a certain sense, the person who was able to create a system that Klal Yisrael should exist without Mikdash. Without that, it was a moment in history that if there had not been the person there to do it, who knows where we would have been. He was able to create a Musig of Zecher LeMikdash, the lead Klal Yisrael through the transition of existing without Mikdash. And the Mor says that he's crying, what's going to be? There's a Yom HaDin. So Rabbi Yechim and Zakai is thinking like that. Kalbachomer, Ben Benoish al Kalbachomer, be Yeruch Rayonechim, be Zichach al Kherdus, Rabbi Yechim and Zakai, Zichar Livroch. There's a Gemara in Brach, as the Mor says that. That one of the Romans by Chasna, they asked him to sing something. So he sang Vailo Demisna, Vailo Demisna. So besides the fact that he'd proven at that point in time that he was a Litvak, right? Besides that point, what was the song? What's that song? What does it do with the Chasna? Furthermore, the Mor says that the Pasuk says, Pasuk in Kehilah says, it's Tevel Echaz Mebeis Obel Beis, Tevel Echaz Mebeis Obel Beis Mishta, Mebeis Mishta, it's better to go to Beis Avon than go to Beis Mishnah. Rechai will take, a person who's alive will take heart. He'll think about it. So, when you say something is better, there has to be a point of comparison. What's the point of comparison between the two of them? How are they comparing to each other? So, one thing pointed out, he says, you go to Chasna. Chasna is a very exciting moment. It's a very, very happy time. We're very happy with the moment of Chasna. Why are we so happy? What's so special about Chasna? Because there's another family in Klal Yisrael. What's so special about another family in Klal Yisrael? Because a family in Klal Yisrael guarantees the eternity of Klal Yisrael. You know, if people wouldn't die, you wouldn't need to do that. You'd have the eternity of Klal Yisrael automatically. So the reason why we're happy with Chasna is because people die. But you should know, you go to Beis Avon, you get the message much more directly than when you go by getting it by a Chasna. So it's much better to get the message by the Beis Avon than by the Beis Mishnah. So that's what Shiva said about that. So I shalom su that there's a sefer milah debrachos. We have the shiva sefer milah debrachos on the mor and over there in Laman Aleph. He said that's pshat why he's saying vaylon de mizna. So I was once listening to a tape from Rabbi Yehuda Miller Zatzal. So he says a story. He was once by a chasna. They asked him to speak. So right before he spoke, so he spoke. He got up and he spoke about Yamim Avos by a chasna. That's so Rabbi Miller is awesome. So he says afterwards, so Abachan got up and he said, Rabbi Miller made everybody sad. So I'm going to say some jokes to lighten the atmosphere. He says, you don't understand. I made people happy. That was his thought process. Something which, again, we went through this thought process. The Rosh Hashanah does a chesed. I by nature, most of you know by now, I'm a very strong procrastinator. I would have difficulty picturing living the lifetime of Mr. Shelach. You know, 969 years, you know, I don't take care of it now. I got 500 years ahead of me to take care of it. I'll take care of it later. You can imagine that? You know, it's bad enough that I have, you know, a few months to take care of something. A person lives forever? We would take life seriously. We understand the value of life. A person understands that life is limited. He understands the value of life. The best way for us to understand the value of something is to understand that it has a limited supply. So Rosh Hashanah did a chesed. He made life with a limited supply. So you want to treasure what you have. It's valuable. There's points along the way where a person recognizes that you know, there's points along the way a person stops and says, you know what? I have to value what I have. So there's a time where the person takes the neshama out of the goof and moves it to a different world. Somebody asked me a question last night. We know what Rebbe Kadosh Baruch Hu does is for good. So why are we scared of the Yom HaDin? Rebbe Kadosh Baruch Hu does is for good. So what's the pachad of the Yom HaDin? So that's a good question. There's a ma'isa with Rebbe Yosef Yitzchok, the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe, right? I said over before that one time they tried to he had his clandestine chedorim going on in Russia under the communists. And they called him in. And they wanted him to say the names of the people who were involved in running this for him, and obviously he refused. So they pulled out a gun. You know, they tried different types of intimidation. They pulled out a gun. They put the gun to his head. And they said, "This little toy has a way of making people talk." So he said, that little toy is the way it makes people talk. People who have many gods in one world, it makes them talk. People who have one god in two worlds, it doesn't scare them. What is Misa? Misa is that a person is poshet, the neshama is poshet, the levush at war in this world, and it goes to a different world. That's not the pachad. The pachad isn't the Yom HaMavis. It's the power that's the end of the time that you have to prepare yourself for the world to come. And you're going to have to stand in front of your Creator and address how well you did. That's the pachad. Loyal idol, the person has to be nifter. It's sad. Right? We sort of get used to, the neshama starts to get used to living in their body, so it's overwhelmed by the idea. But that's not the pachad. The pachad is, what are you going to answer when you come to the person says, I sent you here and I gave you so many opportunities and I gave you such talents and such abilities. And what do you do with time? We live in America, there's a Muslim, it's just kill time. They're right. Wasting time is mama's killing it. Because the most valuable thing you have in life is time. Because time is an opportunity to do something with it. There's nothing more valuable than that moment. So the point of Zechariah Mamas Tomid is there's going to be a time when you separate, and v'tzeinu l'derech hachein, prepare something to take along. So Mesil Sharma says, certain people say that, listen, I'll do a little bit, so I don't have to do so much, so I don't have to push myself too much. And so if I don't get a big chelik in Gan Eden, I'm going to push a small chelik in Gan Eden. So as long as, there's some people who have big mansions. They live in Potomac, have big mansions. I live in Kentville, so I have my house is smaller. I have a house, Baruch Hashem. So the Mesillas Yesharim says back, you know, would you really, would that really, the guy who you grew up next to, that you spent all your time together with, right? And all of a sudden you see, he gets, you know, he says, he gets Shlishi, and you get Revi, how do you feel? So if that's going to bother you over here in this world, can you imagine what it's going to feel like in the world to come? Are you going to sit there and see, you look and see what he accomplished and what you didn't? The pain of Gehenna, according to some unfortunate, is the pain of knowing what you didn't accomplish. And the pain of the neshama knowing what it should have accomplished and didn't accomplish is so searing to the neshama, it burns the kishkas out of the neshama. That's the pain. The pain is knowing of what you could have been and what you should have been and what you didn't do. And the times that you could have overcame the neshama and you didn't overcome the neshama, the times you could have used your time and developed and accomplished, and you didn't. The pocket of a din, the person's question was right in a certain sense. The pocket of a din isn't, you know, we're physical people, and we would like, you know, that the Rosh Hashanah should give us what things which make sense to us. Right? The person who is dominating to have children as a children, they would like to have children. Maybe Rosh Hashanah's plan for them is not to have children. Rosh Hashanah has a good reason why they shouldn't have children. I don't know, right? But we daven for that. And the person who's sick of Dhamma is that they want to live because they would like to live, yes. It's a beautiful world to be able to live in this world. But if the Rosh Hashanah's decision is that not to, that's also good. One of the person says, Gamel Chasadim, what's Gamel Chasadim Tavim Lamo Yisrael? What are Chasadim which are not Tavim? There's Chasadim Tavim, there's Chasadim which are not Tavim. What's the difference? Chasadim Tavim are Chasadim which we understand. Everything's a Chasad from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Everything is good for us. So everything's a chesed. But we're bad to the chesed, which we should understand. That's where our tefillah. Because we're busted with dom. We would like to wrap our minds around something and relate to it. And the madrega of the tzaddikim, we're saying, you know, whatever Rosh Hashanah does, that's good. You know, that's not for the average person. But of an emes, The scary part of the din, the ikar you want to of a rush of Yom Kippur, is besides the opportunity of tefillah that you should have, the Bereshim should be chasim you in a year of Hashanah, which is good, Chaim Tovim. It's a day which we're allowed to fix our problems. It's the day which the Bereshim, it's our washing machine and our vacuum cleaner. And our neshama needs our shaman. It's a day of kapora. Kapora means Rashi says it means to cleanse something. It's a cleansing day. The Ma'ale of Yom Kippur is it's a day of cleansing. It's a day that the process of coming to the Olam Haba, we were cleansed from sin. The various which we've done can be removed from us, so you don't have to go through the process there, which is much more painful. The process there is much more painful than the process over here. Over here, the process a person does, the person takes certain cheshbonos and he makes charata hamaisa, kill charata, he removes the maisa. Chesed. Person did a terrible avera. I mean, Mr. Shom says this. So person killed somebody. He did ritzicha. He killed somebody. The person's dead. So he does tshuva. It's wonderful. The person's still dead. The person says, no, wiped away. There's no avera there. Ois avera. That's the power of tshuva. And if he does tshuva me'ava, it's not so tzchuyus. How that works, the Bereshim's Cheshbonos, you know, how that killing the person is called a schus, that's the Bereshim's Cheshbonos. So the purpose of that skira, the part of the, I believe part of the pocket of the din is to wake us up to stop and think. You know, it's not Pasha that you're here. You were here a year, it's not Pasha you're going to be here for another year. So, you know, it's a good time to be a good time to sort of like, you know, put your affairs into arrangements because, you know, who knows what's going to be. But what affairs? The real affairs. A little bit of a heavy thought before Yom Kippur, but what am I supposed to do? You know, that's what Yom Kippur is, you know. Yom Kippur is a beautiful day. It's a day where the human being is all of the tomb of the human being is removed. There can't be a happier day than the year. There's no day like happy like the Yom Kippur. It's a beautiful, happy day, but it's only a happy day if you understand what the problem is. You understand what the pain is. You understand what the issues are. And you say, and you take it seriously. I answered the person, just for the record, I answered the person, I said that if you want to understand the pacha, says, the goal of the pacha is the following. The person is a tightrope walker. If he focuses on the pachad of falling down, remember that the fellow, Blonder, or whatever his name was, Blonde, walked between the two twin towers. Right? So it's a long way down. Or the fellow recently went across the Niagara Falls. Besides the fact that it's a long way down, over here they had him tied, they had him tethered, but he didn't want to be tethered, but they had him tethered, okay? But over there, he wasn't tethered. So it's about 1,100 feet down from between the twin towers. If you think about it, you're paralyzed. It's not good, right? The guy gets paralyzed at that moment. He's going to fall. Says, okay, so be flippant about it, nonchalant. That's also not a good idea. You need both. You need to understand the seriousness of the moment. This is a very serious moment. And requires total focus and total concentration because it's very serious issue over here. At the same time, it shouldn't be a paralyzing fear which prevents you from doing what you got to do. It should be a fear which motivates you to take that step forward, the next step, and the next step, and do what you have to do. That's the goal of the fear of the Yom and the Roy. It's to galvanize you and to make it give you a message of this is really serious. The Bereshit is serious about this. It's like Meir's mitzvahs. It's like a little kid. You go to kindergarten. They take this little thing with the scales and they put like three potatoes on one side and four potatoes on the other side. Well, which was heavier? I mean, that's not it. It's real. This is real. That's the point. And being real, you take it very seriously. So then the person says, okay, I have to make a cheshbon, I have to sit down, I have to think, I have to address, I have to plan, I have to, what am I going to do? How am I going to address this? You're in a court case. You're in a court case for your life. Not only a court case for life for this world, a court case for life for the next world. And that's even scarier. That's what the Rosh is saying. So we're walking on a tightrope. And the goal of walking on the tightrope is to be able to have that focus. That's, it comes Yom Kippur. I was talking to one of my rebbeim. I just went over this thought. So he quoted to me a Peleoyitz. And the Peleoyitz, I have to look it up. Peleoyitz says that a person should make sure that there should not go a moment in Yom Kippur Levatala. Whether it's davening, whether it's learning, whatever it is. Even a person rests, but it should be a kavon to be able to daven, to focus. It shouldn't be a waste of any moment. Because Yom Kippur, the kedusha of the day and the power of the day is such that 1 hour of learning in Yom Kippur is equivalent to learning a whole day the rest of the year. There's the Peleoyitz writes. So if you want to get 24 hours worth of learning into 1 hour, that's what it means to learn in Yom Kippur. So there's a 10-minute break. So a person is tired, so he wants to put his head down, he puts his head down. Person, needs to push it. Give himself a few minutes. He's exhausted from the davening. I understand. But he goes for a schmooze and goes for a walk on Yom Kippur. You wonder, is that smart? Is that a smart idea? It's hard. Yom Kippur's a hard day. It's not an easy day, right? But it's serious. A person's having this major serious surgery, and the family's waiting in the waiting room. They know what's going to be, whether it's going to be successful or not. It's intense, and they're saying to them, and they're learning, and they're talking about what's going to be, and they're worried, etc. They're not schmoozing and chilling out and talking about the sports, because it's a serious moment. So Kippur is a serious day. So he says that seriousness means it translates into that it has tremendous power. It's a very powerful day. It's going to inject kedusha into you. You're going to take this kedusha with you the whole year. It should be a precious moment. That precious moment, each person uses their precious moment properly. It gives them a chizuk to do tshuva, to really change himself, and the bizarcha to be nechtam and nechtam, the chaim toivim, Be'ez Hashem.